Thank you, Beck. Good morning, church. My name is Mitch. I'm the senior pastor here. Before we get into God's word this morning, I just thought it would be good for us to recognize and celebrate something. Earlier on, we looked at an ad for a course that the Dolby Hope Center is about to have. 5 years ago, in the kind of vision and strategy we thought through under God's guiding hand, we wanted to do practical actions that were valuable to the community of Dolby. And out of that, the Hope Center was birthed as a low-cost or heavily subsidized counseling center by Christian counselors, but for absolutely anyone. And since that time, hundreds of people have been helped through the Dolby Hope Center, from kids to much older people. And we've run our first course on grief and divorce. And this is the second life course we're running on marriage. So I think we should be thankful to God for the way that he's used that to be practically helpful to our town. Let me pray and we'll get into God's word. Our God and Father, I just want to start by saying thanks for including us in your work, that we can serve others in the name of the Lord Jesus through things like the Dolby Hope Center. Lord, today we're going to look at Revelation 19 and again see your greatness. So please still our minds and still our hearts. Just like your Spirit caused these words to be written down, Holy Spirit, write these words on us today. In Jesus' name, amen. One of the things that happens when you're a pastor is you get invited to a lot of weddings and you get to do a lot of weddings. And there's kind of one moment in weddings that sort of stands out as the moment. There are lots of good things at the weddings, you know, seeing the blokes having a go at wearing decent clothes, that kind of wow moment when the bride first comes, the free food and drink and snacks, they're all great moments. But there's one moment when everyone sort of together can't stop themselves going, yes! The moment when you know they've made it, the commitment's there, and it's the very first married kiss, or as my kids would call it, the smoochy kiss. And it feels great to be part of that kind of great moment, getting there to that win that they've been working towards. A great moment for the couple and the big day they've been waiting for. Being part of a celebration, being a part of great winning moments, I think is something we just really love. We love to be able to celebrate, join in on things. You know, I remember that time for many of you when the Brisbane Broncos won a game, how fantastic that was. I can say that because I'm a New South Wales guy. Thanks, Muzz. But it is great, isn't it, when you can kind of stand up off your seat, when you can cheer together, when you can laugh together, when you can feast together. It just seems that that's how we're wired, to be part of a great win, to be part of those kind of celebratory moments. But that's the thing, aren't they? They're just moments. They're good moments, but they are just moments. And soon enough, the celebration's over, everyone goes home, and the food is gone. As we head into this kind of last talk in our series, How Great Is Our God, what we'll see here is why we love to celebrate and why we're wired like that. We'll see God show us that we're made to be part of the greatest victory ever. We're going to see that as we explore what it is that God defeats. What does he win over? We're going to see it in knowing how to be ready to join the win. And we're going to see it on how to be focused in the right direction. Understanding what God defeats, knowing how to get ready and keeping our eyes focused on the right direction is where we'll go. And starting at that kind of first idea of understanding what God has won, before realizing how good a win is, you need to understand what it's over. Who was the other contender? And as we turn to our passage in Revelation, it kicks off with a loss. A loss as the Lord Jesus, with his Father, has a great win. Revelation is one of those tricky books if you've read it. It is not really in chronological order so much. There's a lot of big word pictures and numbers, and there's a lot to follow. But at this point, it's reasonably simple. What's happened prior to our chapter in 19 is an account sort of all the enemies of God gathering up and ready to get into battle. And there's a big build-up as the armies gather and gather and gather, and they're ready to take on the Lord. And the battle lasts about one sentence, as God has a resounding victory. A resounding victory over a vile and cruel world order. A resounding win over death and sin. And John writes Revelation with these chapters just previously, ready to celebrate. The chapter opens with countless people worshipping the God who has won. Verse 1 of Revelation 19, John says, "After this, I heard what sounded like a roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, 'Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God, for true and just are his words.'" The moment when they all stand up off their seat and cheer. And this force of evil that's been defeated, it's called here the great prostitute, also called Babylon. Not literally a prostitute, nor literally Babylon. But it stands for the picture of that world where people are used and hurt and meaninglessly killed. A world which is ruled by those who would give their love to anything. God is the victorious power over that. Verse 2, he has condemned the great prostitute who corrupted the earth by her adultery. He has avenged on her the blood of his servants. And in this section, we see the word hallelujah four times. That might not have stood out to you very much because it's a bit of a word we use in songs and stuff like that. Hallelujah is an ancient kind of Hebrew Old Testament word, and it means praise Yah. And Yah is a shortened version for the name of God in the Old Testament, Yahweh. Like, I am Mitch, and that's short for Mitchell. Yah is short for Yahweh. And hallelujah means praise Yah. Here's the thing. The word is only 24 times in the entire Bible. 20 of those are before Jesus in the Old Testament. The other four are right here in these verses. As they see how powerful and right and strong God is, they use this big and powerful, praise him, praise him, praise him, praise him. Hallelujah to the one who has left evil and death and sin in a state where nothing will come back from the ashes. Hallelujah to the God who can rightfully take a seat on his throne. 19 verse 3 goes on, "Hallelujah, the smoke from her goes up forever and ever. 24 elders and four living creatures fell down and worshipped God who was seated on the throne, and they cried, 'Amen, hallelujah.'" God won a victory against the world of evil and its cruel leaders. The battle was really no battle at all. God's judgment won. God's judgment is always, I think, an idea that makes us feel a bit uncomfortable. Christians are often accused of being judgmental. But even though judgment seems uncomfortable, I reckon we know it's right. You think about over the last few weeks and months, we've seen this growing movement of women who are coming out and saying, "We have been mistreated and assaulted and abused, and some of it is so awful." You know, my wife tells me that there are still times and places where she would just not walk alone because she knows about the risks. And so when we see that women have been hurt or attacked or belittled or used, our society is getting angry, calling out for stronger actions. And what they're really calling for is consequences, for judgment, for something to be done, judgment on things that deserve to be judged. And it's a right response. You think about it. If women are saying, hey, we've been hurt in these ways and you're not paying attention, and we just said, oh, don't worry too much about it. We'll just be loving and that'll be fine from now on. That wouldn't be caring at all. It would be unfair and unjust. You simply cannot love and care for someone unless you are also willing to bring them fairness and justice and ultimately judgment when they've been wronged. God absolutely loves and cares, but he cannot just leave evil. God's victory is a judgment on all that is evil. That's what's been happening in the chapters prior to this one. And the crowd who have trusted God are glad it's finally being sorted out. Glad they're with their great God. With the enemies crushed, now they wait for the big event. The celebration on its way. Now it's time after the victory to make sure they get ready properly. It's important to get ready well for a big and important event. All kinds of events require you to be ready in certain ways. Going to a wedding requires you to dress in certain ways, apparently. I once wore jeans to a wedding, and apparently that's not okay. I didn't really know that. I thought it was the right thing to do. Someone did point out it wasn't the right thing to do. I won't tell you who it was, but she was well within her rights to suggest it to her husband. It is true, isn't it, that certain occasions require a different kind of readiness. And in these next few verses, we see the readiness that God is calling for his people to have, how they're ready for the big day. And the first thing they do is start praising the winning God. No matter who they are or where they had come from, everyone who knew the Lord and everyone who was fed income about how powerful and just he was got ready for the big day with praise. In verse 5, a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants, all who fear him, both great and small." And the big event's described as a wedding, the wedding between the Lamb and the Lamb's bride. And the mention of the Lamb here is a big flashing light to John's readers, to the readers of Revelation, because the Lamb here is Jesus. The Lamb is the one we used to sacrificing for sin. They were used to having to sacrifice a lamb in order to be right with God, and the final great Lamb was the Lord Jesus. Jesus, the Lamb who sacrificed himself, who let his blood be shed to absorb the punishment all of us deserve. And the Lamb's bride, us, every Christian, the way they're ready to be with God is by dressing themselves in the sacrifice of Jesus, going to Jesus for our sins to be forgiven. Each one who had witnessed the love and justice of what Christ did at the cross joined themselves to him. Get ready, says John. Shelter under the Lamb. God's victory has come through the work of Jesus Christ. Share his win. Verse 8, the wedding of the Lamb has come. His bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given to her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. Revelation kind of peels the curtains back and gives us a view into what's coming in reality in the end. We don't always see it, but here we're seeing a clear picture. The day when we'll all sit together around the Lord Jesus, the day when we won't be able to stop but jump up off our chairs and cheer. The day of victory is something we need to keep hoping in and looking forward to. This big day is still coming. And we need to keep reminding ourselves to be ready. The day when we together praise God as our God is on its way. So, if today sucks or this year sucks, put your hope in the coming day. And let's keep helping each other be ready. Most of us know how to get ready for a wedding. We know how to get ready for school. We know how much prep we need to do to either plant or harvest. So many things to get ready for. But the one thing to be ready for is God's big and better event. And if you're not ready to face God, you'll be one of his enemies, and what you will get is judgment forever. But God wants you to share his victory. God wants you to take your sin to the Lamb. Join yourself to Jesus by faith, just trusting him, asking for forgiveness, asking for new hope. Ask for Christ to give you the joy of sharing the win. We need to keep pointing each other back to Jesus, our true champion. As we get towards the end of the verses, we're given a little reminder in verse 9 and 10 about making sure our focus of praise is on the right thing, making sure we don't forget to honour the right thing. I remember once at a wedding where I was a groomsman, the best man, and I made a mistake in terms of who I was meant to honour and acknowledge in that. I missed one key thing that apparently is really important. As groomsman, I told a bunch of stories about my mate. I thanked him for being around. I thanked the other awesome groomsman. I thanked a few others. I acknowledged the bride. And then I sat down. And after that, one of the groomsmen reminded me of a special job I was supposed to do. He said, "Hey, listen, don't worry about us, mate. You're supposed to say how good the bridesmaids look." Apparently that's the job of the best man. But I missed it. I was focused on the wrong place. I'd missed that opportunity to be grateful for them on behalf of the groom. See, as John has shown this great news about the big day, he was incredibly grateful and so joyful. He wanted to honour something, and he just had his eyes on the wrong thing. And these last few verses call him to focus on the right thing, to focus on the right praise, on having winning worship. John was told to write it all down so that people knew about this victory. And he obviously wrote it down because we have it. Verse 9, John says, "The angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" And then John slips up. After being told about the great day and after rightly wanting to rejoice in the win, he honours the wrong thing and he bows down to the angel who just delivered the message. He praised the messenger. Now, verse 10, "After this, I fell at his feet, the angel's feet, to worship him. But he said to me, 'Don't do that. I'm a fellow servant with you and your brothers and sisters.'" Don't get confused, he says. The only thing ultimately worth bowing down to is the one who defeated sin and death and evil. Don't even bow down to the holiest Christians. Verse 10's final simple command is this: worship God. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. The right response to the God, the Father, the Son, and Spirit, and their victory. Worship God, praise him, say out loud, "God is great." We are made to delight in victories. We're made to share in victories. We're made to share the biggest victory through Jesus' demolition of evil. And as the celebration comes, we praise the God who wins over all. It's a moment of massive win in Revelation 19. And sometimes when we see these cosmically massive celebrations, it's hard to kind of get a hold of. It's hard to grasp. We forget that big win, I think. And sometimes instead we get really quite focused on little wins. We get excited about that. We love seeing little celebrations. I remember last time that my rugby league team won the grand final, I was in Turkey and we had to find a pub with satellite TV at 9:30 a.m. And the team won and I cried with joy. And I rang my mum and she cried with joy. It was a good moment. There are lots of little wins, aren't there? Finishing school, knocking off a debt, perfectly timed planting, smashing cross country. Good wins. But they don't always last. And we can find ourselves actually reminiscing about those good wins, those moments of celebration. Look, we have a great God with an even greater win, a win we didn't deserve, a win we haven't heard, a win given to sinners by an incredible Saviour, a win with its best days to come, a win that will last forever. So I want to finish this morning with just talking about how to remind yourself and enjoy sharing God's victory now, celebrating all that he's doing. I want to give you six practical ways to remind yourself of the victory and to join in on it. Six ways to praise our great and victorious God. Number one, be thankful for all kinds of little things and all kinds of big things. Show gratitude to the God who provides so much. Every day in little ways, I am thankful that God has done this or been this. Be thankful. Here's number two. Listen to and sing Christian songs. I'm not saying that's all you do. I'm just saying it's a really helpful way to remember our Lord. I don't want to embarrass you, John, but John down the front here came to faith last year. One of the things John does that's really helpful for me is he discovers a Christian song and sends me the link on Messenger. And I just listen to it. And it's kind of a good way to refocus and remember. So be thankful, listen to Christian music. Number three, stay connected to God. It means prioritizing some time with him, setting aside time to listen to him in the Word, setting aside time to talk to him. Be reminded of his presence with you. Be reminded of his peace, his perspective. Stay connected. Be thankful and sing and stay connected and serve others. Jesus came to earth to serve, not to be served. And in order to remember the victory that we share in and the God that we follow, look for little ways to serve with the chores at home, washing someone's teacup at work, whatever you can do to remember what you're a part of. Share the gospel. Here's the next one. You know, one of our main purposes on earth is to show people the goodness of God and his kingdom as it grows. And so one of the things we want to do is share that joy and that victory. How amazing it is to be part of it. And on this note, can I say, it was just super encouraging to hear of and see so many of you praying for your friends in the lead up to Pancakes in the Park. To see you inviting your friends along and to see you coming along. And I know you're praying for people for Easter services, and I know you're praying for people to join our Jesus in Introduction. And this is a great way to remind ourselves of the victory of God. Here's another way. And the last one, number six. Pray that God will show you these opportunities to serve him and share the gospel and be thankful. Sometimes we don't notice when things are good. We don't notice what God's doing in people. And so we need to ask God to alert us to those moments. God, help me see what you're doing here. Help me be part of it. Help me have joy in working with you, the victorious God. Be thankful. Sing Christian songs. Stay connected to God. Serve others. Share the gospel. Pray to be able to see those opportunities. Because our hunch that winning is an absolute delight is right. Our joy in wanting a massive celebration is built into us. We are made to share the biggest victory ever through Jesus' demolition of evil. And as the big celebration comes, we praise the great God who wins over all. Let me pray for us. Lord God, you are a great God, a God who has defeated evil and sin and death through that powerful work of the Lord Jesus on the cross. I pray that you would help us to be ready for that final big day by dressing in the lamb, by taking our sin to him so that his sacrifice pays for it. Will you forgive us, Lord? Forgive us for not coming back to be ready over and over again. And thank you so much. It's your delight to share that victory with us. And Lord, will you help us to practically, day by day, remember the big win and build little things into our life that remind us of who you are. We want to see you honored. We want to see King Jesus prayed. We want to see your spirit at work in your people doing those things. Amen.